Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Welcome back to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad to have you, and you're listening to us on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Doc Holliday, and you're listening to the show that you need to go to understand what's going on in this presidential election of 2016. Today, on this show, we're going to talk about the Democratic nomination process. There's some topsy-turvy things going on, and we're going to concentrate on Hillary Clinton's campaign, Hillary Clinton herself, and you're going to hear it in a way you won't hear on any other show, so brace yourself for that. Getting ready, that'll be on our second half of the show. We're going to dig into it, and you're going to hear some things you only can hear on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, before we get into the Democratic process of their nomination for the presidency, I've got to go back a couple of weeks ago. We did a show about Cuba, the embassy, opening embassy at Cuba. Last week, Secretary of State John Kerry was to walk down Old Havana and talk to people in a free Cuba. But you know what? We're going to record this show before it happens, so I hope it goes smooth. But there are already hundreds of protesters who have been arrested. They're going around, and they make cutouts of Barack Obama's face, and they put it over their face because they say he is the one that's causing problems for Cuba. They're protesting Americans opening up the embassy while we got all these political dissidents. So, interesting on that. But let me tell you why Cuba is important. Why do I cover Cuba when we've got the Iran deal, and we've touched on that in the past. A lot of things still need to be talked about. We will in the future. We also have race relations in America. Ferguson, one-year anniversary. Michael Brown shooting. Eruption of violence. So, yes, there's a lot to talk about in America. We've done a show on these things. I have to tell you, one show I really wanted to do something on, and we will talk about it some more in the future, is the videotapes of Planned Parenthood, the undercover videotapes showing baby parts that are being basically sold. They say, well, it's just fees, different kind of fees. They negotiate fees. Well, I tell you, it's sickening to see. I couldn't stand to watch it all. And there is a price to pay for this, and a lot of it could be very much illegal. And we got a Justice Department that is trying to shut down the videotapes instead of investigating, do we have dead babies or babies born alive who are killed and then harvested for baby parts? Is that happening? Someone needs to find out. And I don't think we got a Justice Department that has much justice for the unborn, that those babies still in the womb, and some of them are born, possibly. So these are things that we will have to cover up coming shows. I will tell you, I dig down into that with my friend, Dr. Alveda King, very much pro-life, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, and Alex McFarlane, a friend of mine. We're coming out of a book. I've told you about it previously, but those are things that we're going to cover extensively in the book that's coming out. But on today's show, before we get into the Democratic nomination process, I have to tell you more about Cuba, why it's important to know what's going on in Cuba. Is it important for the election of 2016? What do you think? Is it really important? Marco Rubio, his parents from Cuba. Ted Cruz, his father was tortured in Cuba, escaped, got to the United States, got his citizenship. And Ted Cruz was born in Canada, but he was born of a United States citizen. So what you need to know is the fact that this is important. How many other mainstream media outlets have you heard talking about the Cuban embassy and the importance of the election of 2016? Why is that important? 18% of the voters are of Hispanic origin. 18% now of American voters. Is the establishment of new relationship and bringing an American embassy back to Cuba, is President Obama's reaching out to help Cuba, is that important in the election of 2016? It is. I told you it was, and that's why we had Frank DeVerano on. Just and go back to the archives just a couple weeks ago and listen to that show with someone who was involved, who was captured in the Bay of Pigs fighting for freedom. And now, 50 years later, more than 50 years later, he's still fighting for freedom for his country that he loves. And he told us on the show he could never go back because the Cuban government would arrest him. But I have to tell you, Cuba is important not only because of what it means to 18% of their Hispanic population. Think about the candidates, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. Think about what's happening. If Doc Holliday's rock splitting politics, it wasn't less than 2 years ago that we had on this show, Rafael Cruz. Who is that? The father of Senator Ted Cruz. Senator Ted Cruz had only been in the Senate a few months. He was already making waves. In fact, let me play a clip with our interview with Rafael Cruz. You can go back to the archives. March 25th, 2013, April 1st, 2013, had two shows with my interview with Rafael Cruz, the father of Ted Cruz, an amazing story for freedom. And he's trained Ted in a mighty way to love freedom and the United States Constitution. But listen to this clip. Our longtime listeners will remember this. But United States Senator Ted Cruz had just taken his oath of office a few months previously in January 2013. And here he was, and we were talking to his father. His father's very proud of him, but he wanted Ted to stand up for freedom, and that's what he'd done. And he just, when he confronted Chairman Feinstein from California, and this is what Ted's father was talking about.
They have been winning the argument.
Amen.
They have been winning the argument.
They
whether
have.
You win the final vote or not, they've been winning the argument. And let me tell you a very clear something that we saw just yesterday. You know, my son Ted has been fighting very hard to preserve the Second Amendment.
Yes.
You saw him on the hearings of the judiciary hearings against these people that want to ban guns and destroy the Second Amendment. Just yesterday, after Dianne Feinstein had the altercation with Ted, and Ted just pointed out that what she was doing was unconstitutional, you know, of course, the Democrats have a majority in the committee, so it came out of committee. All the Democrats voted for it. And yet, yesterday, Senator Harry Reid refused to even take that that thing to the floor for a vote. So basically, the argument caused that ban on assault weapons to be killed, even though the Democrats have a majority. So speaking the truth and speaking for freedom, it's going to wake up people. And let me tell you something that happened with this filibuster that Rand Paul started, and then Ted and Mike Lee joined him.
We talked about that on our show. Yes.
That electrified America, and that is causing others to take heed. And I think we're going to see more and more conservatives in the Senate just stand with Ted, with Rand Paul, with Mike Lee, with others, and say it is America is worth fighting for.
Wow. Now that gives us hope. Now, that was Rafael Cruz, the father of United States Senator Ted Cruz and now presidential candidate Ted Cruz. And I think it's amazing. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics 2 years ago brought this forward to see the freedom and the fire of liberty. When I say fire, I was down in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's where this show originates. And just last week, who came through but Ted Cruz and his bus came through, and he was talking about he wanted the young people to become arsonists. Arsonist, you say? He said he wanted them to light the fires of liberty. To light the fires of liberty. Did you just hear his father? Did you not sense the fire for freedom and the fire for liberty in his father? Rafael Cruz, 2 years ago on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, before anybody knew much of who Senator Ted Cruz was, they were just hearing about him. We had his father on, and now you know where Ted got the fire for liberty. Go back and listen to that archive show, both of them, and you'll find out how he escaped Cuba. You'll find out how he came to love freedom in America. And I can tell you, his son has been walked through these stages of his father's life, and he knows and understands the value of freedom and liberty, unlike most other candidates that are in there. And I'm telling you why Cuba is important to this election of 2016, and that's Ted Cruz's story. How about Marco Rubio? He's so proud of his dad, who's a bartender. His mother worked. They wanted Marco Rubio and his family to have things they never had, and they spent their lifetime working hard so that that generation could move forward. And Marco Rubio is an example of the American dream. Now he's running for president of the United States. Hey, I just thought of something. Well, no, maybe I shouldn't tell you that. Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, presidential election, Republican nomination. What would happen? What would happen if Ted Cruz won the nomination? Or wait. What would happen if Marco Rubio won the nomination? And if the other, whoever won it, Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, the two Hispanics running on the Democrat or Republican ticket, what if they picked the other one to be the vice president? Could we have a full Hispanic ticket running for president of the United States on the Republican ticket? Everybody says, no, it can't happen. What if it did happen? Would the Republicans get some of that 18% of the Hispanic vote? Think about that. And do Americans, do the old white men, they call it the Republican Party, will they vote for a Latino? You bet your doggone dollar they will when it's Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. I tell you, talk about old white folks, old white men. Bernie Sanders is burning up in the Democratic run for the presidency. The poll numbers are coming up. And that's what we're going to talk about on the second half of the show, because we're talking about Hillary Clinton and her run or want to run or want to be the Democratic nominee in 2016. So that's what we got coming up. But first, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're having some fun here, and we're going to have a lot of fun in the second half. Just hold on to your britches. But now, I do want to remind you that I told you previously, their book is coming out, I hope soon, to have some pre-order forms. But Dr. Alveda King, she addresses in this book about overcoming hate with love. And the book is coming out, and we're talking about bedrock truths. So, and my friend Alex McFarland, he's an evangelist, but he weighs in on immigration. He weighs in on getting apathy out of the political process for citizens to stand up. And I weigh in on marriage. I weigh in on religious liberties, a way in on the economy. Got a chapter called The Dream Economy. So we're going to be talking more about that, give you ways you can go ahead and pre-order the book very soon. And anytime you get a book together, it's a long process, a lot of work, but we're getting to the final stages of that, and I'm glad to tell you that. But I also want to tell you, next week's show, we will continue. I would love to talk about Donald Trump. I would love to talk about Rick Perry. I'd love to talk about Carly Fiorina. All these, Scott Walker. I got to say Carson and Christy, Paul, all these people. And then, wasn't that interesting in that clip I played from Rafael Cruz a while ago, from 2 years ago, and talked about conservatives standing up with Rand Paul and Mike Lee and his son Ted, and some, you know, we're still looking for some of those conservatives. But we were seeing then people ready to step forward to say there's a new, fresh breath of conservatism, get on board, and it was amazing. We had that 2 years ago. But I'm saying all this to say we are going to look into this election like you won't hear anywhere else. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm glad you're listening to us. And now, let's talk about Hillary Clinton, who's running for the Democratic nomination.
Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're
now, is Doc Holliday in love with Hillary Clinton? No, but I'm playing. Going to the chapel, going to get married, because this is the second time Hillary Clinton has tried to team up with the Democrats and become the bride, the Democratic nominee. She was all set, and it's supposed to be her. She was the heir apparent. She was Bill Clinton's wife. She was the senator from New York. In 2008, she gathered the money. She gathered African Americans to support her. And then this young upstart, new senator from Illinois, a young Barack Obama, all of a sudden he started gaining speed. He started gaining traction. And he spoke very well. And some of the African American support had lined up behind Hillary Clinton. They started getting their knees shaking, and then they couldn't lose the opportunity for the historic election of the first African-American president. And Hillary was left at the altar. She was left at the altar. I saw one of the best cartoons of Hillary hanging on to the donkey and said, "Oh, no, you're not going to leave me this time." And she was in a wedding dress. And that's why I think that is so funny, because she said, "By golly, I've waited. It's my turn." And now what is happening? Email. Emails. And when Ted Cruz was in town, he was talking about how I think it was O'Malley, one of the Democratic people running for the Democratic nomination. Let's get it out there. It's Hillary Clinton. It's Bernie Sanders. It's former Governor O'Malley from Maryland and Jim Webb. And there may be another one or two in there. But those are the main ones vying for this Democratic nomination. And Ted Cruz was talking about how O'Malley was so upset because they don't have but six debates planned for the entire Democratic nomination process. And there may be 15 or more for the Republicans. And so he was upset. And Ted Cruz said something like this. He said, "Well, you know, they're having a lot more debates, but they gave them to Hillary Clinton to give out the invitations, and they're all on her email server." So, and they didn't make it. How much of other is on that email server that didn't make it? Well, there's a lot being said, and Trey Gowdy had this to say: the emails are driving the numbers, the polling for Hillary Clinton down. And we had Trey Gowdy came out and blessed Trey Gowdy, representative U.S. congressman from South Carolina, who said, remember Petraeus. Petraeus, he had classified information at his home. It's illegal. And he paid a price. He was fired. He had to resign, demoted. And Trey Gowdy said, we should expect no special treatment. Everybody's equal under the law. And that reminds me, equal under the law. There was a young lawyer back in the 70s around the Watergate era who was helping out with the Watergate team. And, well, this is murky. What did our president back then say? And does it apply today? Take a listen.
Because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Well, could we call Hillary Clinton a crook? I mean, did she break a law? Did, you know, Richard Nixon said, people need to know if their president's not a crook. We need to know if someone who wants to be president, if they're a crook. Are they trustworthy? What happened at the Benghazi hearings? What happened at Benghazi? Do we really know? Do we know? What was it? Oh, yeah. Hillary Clinton said something. What difference does it make? You remember, we can flash back to one of our archives. We did a whole show on this. Got a clip from a show from back at the Benghazi hearings about Hillary Clinton. Does she tell us the truth? Is she trustworthy?
Because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
What difference at this point does it make? What difference at this point does it make?
Is it any wonder that people want to not take her to the altar? If even the Democrats, they don't want to take her to the altar. They're saying, when will we be loved by Hillary Clinton? As this show is being taped, there's a new allegation coming out with Fox News saying that some of Hillary's staff has erased emails that were classified, or possibly, allegedly. If that happened, that is a federal offense. Federal offense. And was it her staff or was it her? If any classified information in email was deleted, erased, that's a federal offense. Hillary Clinton does have some problems, people. And Bernie Sanders knows it. That's why his numbers are going up the poll. This man's in his 70s. He's a socialist. And he's running for president by wanting a Democratic nomination. And he's coming up and gaining in the polls because Hillary looks more and more like her track record is coming back. Hey, this is not the first time Hillary's thrown these stunts of making people question, can she tell the truth? Just go back to what they were talking about in 2007 and 8. And then they're talking about when Hillary Clinton was the first lady, how she embellished stories. Is that's called a lie. She's untrustworthy. That's what it sounds like to me. But take a listen to CBS story from back then.
But questions are being raised now about whether she's done some embellishing of her record. Here's investigative correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
It was supposed to be an example of Hillary Clinton's battle-tested experience.
I remember landing under sniper fire.
Speech last week, Senator Clinton was referring to her visit to Tuzla, Bosnia in 1996 as First Lady. The brutal war was over, but hostilities continued. And though the trip was exactly 12 years ago tomorrow, the memory seemed etched in Clinton's mind.
There was supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles to get to our base.
The problem is, that's not what happened. And we should know, CBS News accompanied the First Lady and daughter Chelsea on that Bosnia trip. That's Senator Clinton talking to me on the military flight into Tuzla. And these are the pictures we recorded of the greeting ceremony when the plane landed. Compare that to Senator Clinton's account.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was no greeting ceremony, and we basically were told to run to our cars. Now, that is what happened.
Thank you.
You heard her. Now, that is what happened. That's Hillary Clinton. She wants to be our president. She wants to be the Democratic nominee. Yes, there should be more debates over on the Democratic side. I understand the concern of former Governor O'Malley of Maryland. He needs to debate someone who is that untrustworthy, someone who will blatantly lie to gain political traction and a political appeal. That needs to be brought out, and yet they want fewer and fewer debates. You can't even get Hillary Clinton to come speak. And now I was talking about, I know everybody has been keeping up. They're going, you left someone out. You left someone out. I wanted to see. Someone hasn't declared. But there's rumors. Joe Biden. Vice President Joe Biden. He may jump into this race for the presidency. He may jump in to run for the Democratic nomination. Why? Because Hillary is looking more and more like she's got glass heels. She's got breakable parts. And the Democrats fear if she gets in there and this email, if she's really broken a law, and she has evidently, allegedly, Doc Holliday saying it all looks like she's broken some laws. And if she's held accountable, like she wanted to hold Richard Nixon, saying the president was not above the law, remember Watergate, why do the Clintons believe they are above the law? And she is the one that did not want to use a government email system. She's the one who's put our classified information up for grabs, possibly by the Russian hackers, by Russian and Chinese hackers, and anybody else that could hack into this private email server. How many secrets do our friends know? They were mad at us because they said the United States has been spying on their allies. Well, how many allies knew everything because they had the server of Hillary Clinton picked and hammered, and no telling how much information could be out there. Listen, if we need to get all the emails, we can probably just ask the Russians and the Chinese to get, please retrieve our former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails. Ask our friends in Russia. They've probably already given it to their friends in Iran. Iran probably has the emails. If we can't find them, if we're good buddies, if President Obama's good buddies with Iran, say, please, can we see a copy of our Secretary of State's email? Can you see how ridiculous all this is? And I feel like Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, has cheated me. I feel like she is someone who doesn't care. She loves the thought of being president so much that she doesn't mind lying. We've seen examples on this show. I've just played them for you, and I have to ask, what difference does it make?
I've been cheated.
What difference at this point does it make?
Been mistreated.
What difference at this point does it make?
And will I be
heard? Hearing about our former first lady trip to Bosnia, where she said she came in under sniper fire, embellishing. No, she didn't embellish. She lied. She flat out lied. She just lied. But it reminds me of a story that happened in Arkansas a few years back. And it's a hot day. It's hot where you are, I'm sure. Most places in America. Now, we got some friends in Alaska, and I met some this summer. So it may not be hot everywhere. It's hot in Mississippi. I know it's hot across the South. But the former First Lady of the United States was the former First Lady also of Arkansas. But this event happened to a lady in Arkansas. She was out shopping, and it was hot just like it is now. And it was so hot out in the she was in a parking lot, and she just come out of her grocery store. She'd been shopping and got her grocery cart full, and she was walking, and all of a sudden she heard, pow! And as soon as she heard that, she felt the back of her neck, and she put her hand back there, and oh my goodness, she held her hand to the back of her neck, and she was in shock, and she was scared, and a man came up and said, "Lady, what's wrong?" And the lady said, "I've been shot, and I'm holding my brains in." And the man looked at her, and she said, "Lady, calm down." "No, no, no, I've been shot." He said, "Lady, please take your hand away. It's okay." She said, "No, my brains, I can feel it. They're going to come oozing out. I've been shot in the back of the neck." And he said, "Lady, calm down." He said, "You've been shot." And said, "I knew it. You've been shot by the Pillsbury Doughboy. Sir, a can of biscuits had popped open. Someone landed on the back of her neck. And she had been shot, but by the Pillsbury Doughboy. And the First Lady of Arkansas, maybe she learned some of those stories from her friends in Arkansas. I don't know, but she knows how to embellish. And she is not trustworthy in my book. I still want to know what happened in Benghazi. I hope Trey Gowdy gets to the thick of things. I hope the emails, even if we have to go to ask the Iranians, the Chinese, or the Russians for Hillary Clinton's emails, let's get them. And let's see what really happened in Benghazi. Let's see what's going to happen in this Democratic nomination process. Bernie Sanders of Vermont, our socialist, is gaining, and he's leading Hillary Clinton in some of the polls as of this week. Jim Webb, will he catch fire? Doesn't look like it. He may come out against the Rand deal. Who's going to catch fire? Hillary Clinton. We won't say liar. No. Let's finish the show up on a good note. Next week, we're finding out more about the Donald, where his poll numbers are going. We're talking more about the Republican nomination, and we're getting more involved with what you need to know. It's so much out there. Come to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics radio show to find out what you need to know, just like you learned today. Tell your friends and neighbors we're growing and we're having influence around this country for liberty and freedom and justice. It's coming, just like the old Tombstone movie. Justice is coming, baby. We're coming. Come on, listen to us next week.
Because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.